Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
A new project out of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee recently caught our attention, and it's trying to turn the tables on the man behind the world's most influential social network, Facebook, which turned 10 years old this week.
The project is called The Zuckerberg Files. It's a digital archive of all the public statements made by Facebook's CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, information that hasn't always been easy to find otherwise.
Here to tell us more about the project and why he thinks it's needed is one of its creators, Michael Zimmer. He's the director of the Center for Information Policy and Research at UW-Milwaukee and an assistant professor of information studies. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Great. Thank you for having me.
So why do you think we need an archive for all of Mark Zuckerberg's public statements?
Well, one of the things that has really interested me is the way that Facebook and Zuckerberg in particular talk about things like users and privacy and our information. And I was really interested to see if this has changed over time. What kind of language does he use? How does it respond to questions or controversies about our privacy? And so I started doing research on that and started compiling like copies of his speeches and realized this is actually could be a really useful public service to put all this together for anybody who wants to do this kind of research could have access to.
Well, I imagine that how he feels about privacy has evolved over the years. If, you know, we believe the movie The Social Network sort of seemed like a dating tool in the beginning. I can't imagine that privacy was utmost on his mind at that moment, but it's certainly become more front and center now. Do you have a sense of how his feelings have changed over time?
Yeah, it goes back and forth, and oftentimes, you know, it's a reaction to how the public responds to certain features or certain things that they've done with the platform. And I think at first his general philosophy was we need to share everything, and we'll meet girls or we'll meet people, we'll be more friendly if we share things. And then every once in a while they change a feature where suddenly, you know, you and I as users suddenly realize that something's a little different. I have a little bit less control, or all of a sudden something that I thought was private is a little bit more public. So we react to that. But overall, Facebook has been making a little bit harder for you to control your privacy. And he does talk a little bit differently about it. He tends to talk a lot about control and giving, as long as users have control, then we're going to have some privacy. And as a scholar, it's not always quite that simple. And it's something that I'm hoping by making, you know, this archive available that we can start studying this a little bit more and perhaps even convince him that just having control isn't quite good enough always.
Does he talk directly about privacy? Did you find that, or is it something that he talks around?
He tends to talk around it. That's a good point. I think earlier on he engaged it a little bit more. And then I think slowly as the company got larger, you know, things got a little bit more professional, I think his rhetoric and his language changed a little bit where they talk more about transparency or openness. And he, you know, if there's an issue about privacy, maybe a different engineer or somebody else will talk about something about the platform, and he's trying to talk at a little bit of a higher level.
Now, you've got these archives up there. There are transcriptions, there is metadata, there's public statements. What struck you the most from this collection of Zuckerberg files?
Well, he certainly has become a better speaker, and I think it's, you know, it's probably no secret. You know, he's just a computer programmer. He was a kid that dropped out of college, and all of a sudden he was in the spotlight. He was never really that comfortable with speaking, and there are lots of missteps and gaffes, and over time he's gotten better and more comfortable and a little bit more polished. And I think his worldview has changed a little bit. You know, he first started talking about Facebook just as a directory, just as a way to find people and meet people. And over time, that has evolved into Facebook being a platform for change, a platform that can change the whole planet and help us, you know, understand each other better and actually be some social good. So it was interesting to see that kind of change in his thinking.
What sort of reception have you gotten so far for this?
Well, it's been really positive. I was quite surprised and excited when we first launched it. We had just a flood of attention and quite a number of researchers. We've had almost 100 researchers who now have access to the archives. You know, a few people think, you know, that, you know, I'm just trying to sort of stick one to Zuckerberg by making his comments, you know, more public. But, you know, that's not my point. I'm just trying to make sure we can try to understand him and his relationship to the company. So far, he hasn't, you know, responded to me directly. But the reaction has been good. I'm really enthusiastic about keeping the archive going.
And what kind of reaction have you gotten from people other than Zuckerberg, people who might be using the Zuckerberg files to check in on what he's saying?
Well, they're finding it useful, and I've seen people with a variety of different interests. You know, some have an interest like me in terms of, you know, privacy or ethics or those kind of issues with the platform. Others want to study him as an entrepreneur. Some want to be able to study his language as a leader or what it means to run a company like this and how has he changed and matured and what can we learn from his style. At least, you know, he's one of the youngest billionaires in the world, and maybe there is something we can learn from that. So it's been, you know, we're seeing all different kinds of reactions.
So what was it like putting this together? Did it sort of change your mind about why privacy concerns are something that deserve a cultural conversation at this point in history?
Well, it certainly has affected me in terms of watching him grow. You know, I've been following Facebook almost since it started, and really have been a pretty vocal critic in terms of its privacy, you know, practices. But being able to sort of see him and listen to him and see him in different situations, you do come to appreciate, you know, the position he must be in just in general. At the same time, you know, I know my students who've been working on this and transcribing things, we're getting kind of sick of listening to him. He sounds awfully the same. He answers questions the same way. He has the same little, you know, sayings and idioms, and that gets a little annoying after time.
I hear you guys have some impressions. Do you have one?
I don't. I wouldn't dare try one, but a couple of my students do. Yeah.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining us and talking about it today.
Thanks, Veronica. I appreciate the time.
We've been speaking to Michael Zimmer, director of the Center for Information Policy Research at UW-Milwaukee and an assistant professor of information studies.